Get connected with Take Two Radio Music on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio Music. Or for email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit TakeTwoRadioMusic.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Take Two Radio Music. I'm Pam, your host. I hope you all are having a wonderful day. It is, again, Wednesday, so that means that we have an interview to do. And today I'm so very happy to have with me the award-winning singer, songwriter, and producer, and last but not least, the licensing queen, a name given to her by the Wall Street Journal, of all people. And her name is Salmé Dahlstrom, and I hope I'm saying that correctly, Salmé. Yes?
You said it perfectly. And I love the introduction. I'm going to steal that one.
Oh, not a problem. You don't know. I mean, since I started playing your music, I'm like, every time I play it, I'm like, please, God, let me be saying her name correctly, because you just never know how names are pronounced these days. So I'm so very happy I could do that.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So how are you doing today?
I'm just doing fine. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing pretty well, thank you. It's a beautiful day here in Chicago, a crisp fall day, but the sun is out, and that's what counts.
Right.
So I want to thank you again for bearing with me and rescheduling this interview, because I wasn't feeling well, and I know you're very busy, so thank you again for that.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me, and thank you so much for playing my music.
Oh, you're welcome. I love your music. I really, really love your music. It brings me back to the day when I used to go out clubbing.
Oh, okay. I hope that's a good thing.
Yes, yes, definitely, definitely. I mean, I love to dance. Whenever my friends and I went out, we didn't just go to a bar to sit and talk and drink, you know. We always got up and we danced all the time. So they're good memories. They're good memories. And I still go clubbing. It's just now it's in my head now instead of physically going.
Right. Well, it's hard work, clubbing. Let's not forget that. It's a workout.
Right. I mean, my gosh, you have to get dressed. You got to wear the perfect outfit. You know, you got to wait for your friends to pick you up. And I always had one friend that always ran an hour late, which drove me insane. But that's another story. So let's go back in time a little bit and tell us when you became interested in being in music.
I started playing piano when I was five, classical piano. My mother made me. I was pretty happy doing it, actually. I'm very competitive. My older sister started playing, so I had to beat her, had to be better than her, so I practiced a lot. But then I picked up a guitar. I was 11 or 12, and that was a lot more fun. So I started writing songs and started playing guitar and played in different, you know, rock bands that, you know, everybody does. You play the school dance and wherever else people will have you. So it was pretty early for me.
Yeah, I mean, and especially to start writing songs that early. I mean, I don't run across too many people that start writing songs as a child. So, I mean, were you more towards like the teenage years, or were you younger than that?
No, I mean, I think from a more serious songwriting standpoint, mm-hmm. It was the teenage years, you know. And I really liked it, and I've always been a huge fan of you know, strong melodies and hooks, big hooks. Maybe that comes from growing up in Sweden, because that's what you hear. You know, we have ABBA and Roxette and all those huge bands that were very, very big on melody. So that's kind of, yeah, so that's how I grew up in Sweden. So, you know, it was still, I didn't know anything about programming music at the time. You know, it was more like you got together with your friends in a basement and you banged on your instruments and you try to make something out of it. But I always thought about the melody and, you know, all of that. And I usually say I'm a decent musician. I'm like a Paul Stanley of Kiss kind of guitar player. I know my three chords really, really well. And I know how to write songs with them, but I'm not a virtuoso by any means. So I focus on
right. Yeah, your voice is your instrument, and you use that well. So, and speaking of, what do you do to take care of your voice? I always see singers that walk around with something around their throat, a scarf or something. Is that to protect it somehow?
Yeah, it's to keep it warm.
Fashion?
I think you'll get both sides there, but thank God it's fashionable because we do need to keep our throat warm, you know. So you don't want to catch a cold because then you can't sing. And
oh, right,
Most singers who catch a cold, they think they're going to die, me included. Oh, it's
sure.
Like we're the drama queens of the music world, believe it.
Well, nobody wants to hear anybody sing like with a stuffed up nose or whatever, you know. But then again, when you're a fan of somebody that you just absolutely love every single thing that they do, I don't think that we would even give it notice or, you know, like hold it against them. So they would just feel more, like you said, more of the drama. Like, oh, no, I got a cold. So, yeah, no, I think we're all good. And we could just throw on, I was going to say...
CD, nowadays, we can just lip
people
sync.
Don't
is that
do
where
that
we're
much
going?
Anymore.
Yeah. Right.
So when you write your songs, do your lyrics usually come first, or do you get a beat in your head and then the lyrics, or is it a mixture of both?
It's definitely a mixture of both. I have a lot of like small pieces of ideas, you know, floating around in my brain. And every now and then I try to put them down on a piece of paper, so I have small pieces of paper lying around everywhere. And I'm like, ooh, don't touch that. It's got a word on it, kind of a thing. So I need to get a box to put them all in. That's part of it, you know, you kind of collect ideas, and hopefully the good ones will stick and the other ones will kind of just flush themselves out, you know, of your brain. But also there are times when I just get into the studio and say, all right, I'm not going to, you know, I have no aspirations of you know, or I'm not setting a goal. I'm just going to make a beat and see what comes out. And sometimes it's good and you work, you know, use it, and sometimes it's not. So it definitely comes from both ends.
Yeah, I think that, you know, if you sit down, like I write poems once in a while, but it's just something that comes into my head. And it's funny because the whole poem will come into my head. And if I sat down to actually write one, you know, I wouldn't even get probably three words out. So it's just weird how that happens sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it's like something just opens up in the heavens and you can just pick them, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just fall into your lap. And that's great. You know, I think for me, this is my job at this point. And I usually say it beats having a real one. Because I love what I do. But that means writing every day, or, you know, working creatively every day for at least, a couple of hours if I'm doing other things, interviews and such. I still try to get a couple of hours or something of creative work in. And I don't always feel like it, but I also have discovered that once I sit down, you know, and I think, oh, this is going to be a bad day, I have no ideas. Once you start working, stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not every day. Sometimes you write and
right.
It's not good or nothing comes. But a lot of the time, if you just set aside the time, you're going to get something.
Yeah, well, maybe I'm not strict enough with myself, but I think I write my poetry more on emotion. It seems like when I'm sad, it just comes
right
out. So that's my release, you know, just putting it out there. So,
that's
and then
cool.
I have happy music like your music to get me back to being happy. So, hey, see, it all works out.
Yeah. Well, you kind of need both, right? People always,
right?
You know, I've gotten the question a couple of times, like, well, do you ever write like deeper or more sad stuff? And I'm like, well, it happens. They rarely end up on my albums. But for me, it's, I guess, more of a, you know, escapism or something. It's like, I want to write about the good stuff. And it that brings me up, you know. So it's different.
Right.
Everybody has their own process, you know.
Yeah, I appreciate it because there's a lot of sad songs out there. We need, you know, happy dance music, make yourself move, get, like you say, escape to another world and just put the music in your head and move with it. And that's it. So, yeah, I appreciate that.
Cool.
Now, not only do you have tons of fans that love you, but also the music industry has given you high praise as well as awards. And congrats on both of that. Now, how does it feel to you when you win an award?
It feels a lot better than losing, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's great. And every, you know, the times that it happens, you're just ecstatic and you know, you definitely have a drink too many at the bar because you're celebrating.
Yeah.
It's a very happy occasion, and it should be celebrated.
Definitely, definitely. I've had a lot of people tell me it feels surreal, and I can picture that, you know. But then once you have it in your hands and you get it in home and you can put it somewhere, you can look at it all the time, and that'll bring a smile to your face. Or then even when you're feeling like you're not being constructive, when you're trying to write a song, just look at that thing and know that you can do it.
Oh, absolutely. And you gotta, for me, I feel like you can keep working and you can sort of almost miss those moments. So when something good happens, I make sure to celebrate it, you know, or acknowledge it for myself, or, you know, to really go, woohoo, it happened, you know, I did it, or whatever it is, so that you just don't go, okay, wow, that was great, let's move on to the next thing, let's focus on the problems ahead, you know, work ahead or something. Really, you know, whatever it is, whatever small step, you make money on licensing, you know, it may not pay for your house, but it pays for a nice night out on the town. Celebrate it.
Right.
You know, acknowledge
right,
that
exactly.
You made money on music, that it's a good thing, you know, you won an award, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Now, speaking of licensing, your album, The Acid Cowgirl Audio Trade, was one that was really successful, where you licensed all the songs to corporations and TV shows. I mean, that is something, again, I've not heard of, you know, with indies, with anybody I've interviewed, they'll get a song here or there, but you had all the songs licensed out at one point or another, and the one song in particular, Come On, Y'all, made it to TV commercials. And you know what? I'm so glad that you have YouTube and that where you had that on there. I think that's where I watched it, or maybe it was on your website for the CoverGirl one, because as soon as I heard the first three chords, I was like, oh, yeah, I know that one. I know that song. And if anybody listening out there would do that, they would know that song, too. I mean, that's a very well-known song. So how did this all come about?
The whole licensing thing or CoverGirl?
Yeah.
Well,
the whole thing, really. I mean, did you set out to license every song or at least some of them?
Well, no. The whole mid-2000s somewhere, the whole major label system sort of fell apart. You know, the one we knew where, you know, you put your 5-6 song demo together and your manager went and shopped and got you a record deal and you got big advances and you made a record, and if it didn't work, you did it all over again, kind of a thing.
Right.
And if it worked, you went on tour. And that was falling apart. And so I found myself in a situation because I'd had a couple of record deals and I had sort of been in that cycle for that's the life I knew. So suddenly I found myself in a place where there really weren't any labels for me to go to. That wasn't a route I could take. So, and at the time, I didn't have a manager. I didn't have an attorney. It was just me. And I said, well, what am I going to do? Well, I decided I'm going to make an album for me. So first time in my life, there was no input, outside input from, you know, a record label who says, well, maybe you should do this or that. It's going to fit this format. Or you know, managers tend to have, you know, that as well. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that was my situation. So the Acid Cowgirl Audio Trade, I made for me. I put the 10 songs on there that I loved, and I produced them the way I felt like it, without thinking of a radio format or fitting into this genre or who could I tour with, or, you know. It was whatever I wanted to do, I did. And I didn't even know about licensing. And then, you know, the album was ready to go, and the internet at the time, you know, it had started happening where you uploaded your songs to, I think, mp3.com at the time, and there was something called GarageBand, stuff like that. And I got fairly, you know, I got some really good reviews on stuff. And one day this licensing agent calls me, and he goes, I really like your music. I think it would be a good fit for licensing. And I go, what? I had no idea what he was talking about. And he goes, you know, we could make money. I'm like, I like money, but, you know, how does it work? Because up until then, I mean, I knew about licensing, but in the Michael Jackson does Pepsi. You know, it was always a huge artist, you know, and that kind of thing. And I didn't really think that wasn't for me at that point, you know, definitely.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this licensing agent explained that, you know, this is sort of happening. You know, a lot of indie artists own their own material, and there's a market opening up. And that was the beginning. I had no expectations, really, you know. And then it started, you know, with one little thing, adding on another. And then, of course, Kamayo with all those commercials happened. And I've built it from there, really.
Well, right place, right time, right music, you know, so it just all worked out for you, because that's just truly amazing to have all of that music out there, and especially, like you said, Come On, Y'all, it's Kellogg, Suave, you know, different commercials like that. I love it, you know, because there's so many times that I'm watching a TV show or a commercial or a movie, gosh, I love that song, I wonder who that's by. You know, and it seems like now with social media, you can find out a lot quicker, whereas before, really, you couldn't find out at all unless you wrote to whoever made that film or show, you know, and then find out and see if they'll answer you. So now you jump on social media and you'll say, oh, I love that song on that show today. Who sang it? And there you go. You got the answer. So that's a good thing for you guys, because then we know where to find you and where to find the rest of your music and how to purchase it.
Yeah. I mean, getting your music on TV and commercials, it's great promotion, definitely, you know, and it's also a way to make, you know, have an income. And I think definitely the times have changed, because, you know, I don't know, 15 years ago, maybe even more, having your song in a commercial, that was the death of that band. You know, that was selling out at its worst. Yes. It was the worst thing you could do. I mean, I'm talking, you know, 70s, 80s, probably mid-90s, all of that. And I remember, you know, I was a kid, but the Black Crowes went on tour with, I believe, ZZ Top. And I believe that was one of the first tours that were sponsored. I think Budweiser sponsored the whole tour. And the singer of the Black Crowes, he was so upset. He's like, I don't want to be part of this, and this is wrong. And so they got thrown off the tour because he complained too much about, you know, a brand associating themselves with the tour. And today, I mean, every tour is sponsored. I think the tide is completely, you know, turned on that. And I know in Japan, it's an honor. It's the highest honor for a musician. If a brand picks your song, that's it.
Wow. I would have never, ever guessed that about, you know, back in the day, it wasn't a good thing to do. it just makes sense to me to be, you know, to do something like that. So, well, you taught me something new today. Well, recently you released your single Pop Your Heart Out, which I've played, as well as one of the remixes so far, and absolutely love it. And it's on your recently released album called Pop Propaganda Volume 2, Retro Funk Soul Junction.
Just rolled
I noticed
off your
you
tongue,
have long I noticed you have long titles for your album.
I do. That's where I spend most of my time, you know, in the studio. I sit there and go, what could I possibly do to outdo myself this time?
Yeah.
No, just kidding. It just happened that way. I promise I'll give you a short title next time.
Yeah. Well, volume one wasn't too long. It's Pop Propaganda Volume 1, bang.
Right. So. Yeah, that was, thank you. Still, though, it wasn't just one word.
Right. It's okay. It catches the interest of somebody that sees it and they want to know what's on there. So, again, you're doing the right thing. So tell our listeners more about how this album came about and about why you like to do remixes. I mean, I love them, but why do you do them?
Okay. This album, I decided 2 years ago, I had a bunch of ideas for the next album, but they were sort of while they were all electronic music, they were slightly different in style or you know, subgenre. And so I toyed around with the idea to, instead of putting out one album, put out three EPs, and they would each have a little bit of a different theme. So volume one of PP1, as we like to call it, was more of like an electro dance, you know, where I explored that world, maybe a little bit more of a clubbier side. This one, for volume two, I wanted to go back to something that I love, which is like the whole breakbeat, big beat, funky drum movement. So that was the basis of this one, and I also wanted to bring a little bit of soul into it. And before everybody kills me, I'm not talking Aretha Franklin kind of soul, because
that's
not me. You know, I probably have as much soul as John Bon Jovi, but and I mean no disrespect, but you know, I kind of had those. You know, you put a thought in your head and you kind of use it when you write and when you record your vocals and stuff like that. And so I tried that outfit for this one. And number three, volume three, is still, you know, I haven't started recording it yet, so it's a secret what it's going to be. So that was the idea behind the three volumes of, you know, the Pop Propaganda EPs. Remixes are fun. I think they're fun. It's when you give, you know, usually you give the files of your song, usually the vocals and maybe something else like guitar parts. You give them to another producer, another outfit, and they take that and they make it their own. And it's, to me, it's so exciting to see what they came up with and how they interpret what you wrote, you know, what I wrote. And in this case, I had Pop Your Heart Out. I sent it to a couple of remixers, and while I think they're all great, the Speckerfrex remix, I just love those guys. I love what they've done before and what they did with Pop Your Heart Out. It's so different from the original, but it still, I think, embraces the same feelings that the original has.
Definitely, and that's the one that I chose to play the last time I played your music. I think it was 2 weeks ago. That was my favorite remix out of them, too. So it's funny, we have the same taste.
Nice. See? We should hang out more.
I know, right?
Absolutely.
Let's do coffee or let's do wine.
Yes. Let's work.
Yeah. Well, I saw the video for Pop Your Heart Out on Yahoo Music. How awesome is that? I don't find many people that I interview being on Yahoo Music like that, right on the front page.
No, that was amazing. I mean, I think they fell in love with the video and the song and decided to do it, and I couldn't be happier. So, you know, hats off to those guys.
Definitely. Now, I have to say, I love the guy that was dancing in it all over the place with that mini disco ball. Did you come up with the storyboard for it, and where was it all filmed at?
I worked together with the director, whose name is Bryce Prevatt. We've done a couple of videos together. He's an awesome director here in New York. And we brainstormed around. He had an initial idea about a guy walking around town with a disco ball, and we kind of built it from there. I just thought it was fun and quirky, but also, you know, it would have be very visually very effective with getting somebody, you know, a dancer in who does breakbeat dancing, you know, just really, really cool. And I think it worked out great. We found this guy here in New York who, you know, agreed to walk around Brooklyn, as it turned out, with a disco ball, and to just, you know, dance his heart out wherever we told him to.
Did he get a lot of looks walking around with that disco ball, or is that something New Yorkers take for granted? Oh, they're filming something, you know.
No, he got watched all right. You know, people turned their heads a lot, and especially when he started dancing, he's just amazing. Mm-hmm. This guy, you know, and we filmed in a mall. Actually, one of the last things we did was like, let's sneak into a mall. We didn't have a permit, but we were like, oh, this will be fun. And we got chased by the mall guards,
Oh, my gosh.
It's all good. We got out. We were much faster than they. They had had their donuts and coffee, so we were good.
That's too funny.
Yeah.
I love it.
I wish we had had that on camera. We didn't, though.
I have to say that you're absolutely stunning, and I wondered if you ever thought of getting into acting.
Oh, I'm well. Thank you first, but no, I'm a terrible actress. Terrible.
Really?
Terrible.
I mean, you kind of have to act when you do your videos, so you know that's a start.
That's true, but I feel like I could probably play me or a character that has my traits. But honestly, to do anything else, I don't think it's for me. So I better stick to music.
Yeah.
I don't see an Oscar in my future. There's
No.
I like Cher, but she's good at that, not me.
Yeah. Yeah. Some can cross over easily, but it's just, I guess, what they're interested in and what their passions are. And sometimes it's a fluke. Somebody will say, hey, I want you in my movie, and they've never acted in their life, but, you know, just decide to go ahead and try it, and it works out. And so never say never. Never say never. You never know.
That's true. I mean, I'm open to it, but, you know, I think somebody said, you know, when you're on stage, and I think especially if you're a singer, you take on a persona. And you know, it's like a larger than life. You really try hard to maybe create a character, and you get into it, and it's supposed to be loud and larger than life and big movements, kind of a thing, to reach the guy up in the nosebleed section. And acting is the opposite. It's about peeling off everything and showing true emotions.
Right.
That's a little different,
Yeah. That's true. Well, now that you released your album, are you going to be going on any kind of tour or doing some gigs?
Yeah, I'm definitely hoping so. I'm putting the live band together as we speak, and so we hope to be out playing some shows and hopefully around the country, pretty soon.
Well, I hope you make it to Chicago. Just be sure to come, like I tell everybody else, come in the summer, not in the winter, because I don't go out of the house in the winter in Chicago.
Yeah, I was in Chicago in January of last year for an award show, and it was cold. I'll give you that.
Yeah. That was one of our worst winters that we've had in a very, very long time. So you just happened to come at the wrong time. Although
but
you
I won
be
the
used
award
to it with coming from Sweden, right?
Yeah, Sweden. See, I moved to New York because I heard the weather was good.
Oh, okay. But, who told you that?
No, yeah, exactly. We had an awful winter here, too. So, I'm supposed to be used to the cold and the dark, but I guess you forget quickly.
Yes, you do. Even from, winter to winter, if we have a couple of good winters in a row, we forget that 2 years ago we had a really bad one. So I can understand that. Well, for our listeners, I'd like you to follow Salmed on Twitter at S-A-L-M-E-D. Also like her Facebook page with the same name and check out her website, salmedland.com. They can purchase your music pretty much anywhere that there's digital downloads, correct?
Absolutely.
Do you ever sell CDs, physical CDs of your music?
I do. They're available both on my website as well as CD Baby.
Oh, good, good. I'm one of those people that still like to get CDs at times, even though I do upload my music. But when I go in the car, I like to throw in the CD. I also like to look at the artwork and everything that's involved with it. To me, it's really interesting. It just reminds me of back in the day when the vinyls were out and you always wanted to get that album to see what was on the cover of it.
I'm the same way. I love CDs and I love vinyl. I got a vinyl player and I'm starting to buy up the 60s and 70s now. It's just a feeling, you get a record and you put your headphones on and you read all the notes and then the lyrics. It's
right.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I love that they started including lyrics too, because there's a lot of times, and you'll see this on movies or TV shows too, where somebody's singing a song and they're singing the completely wrong words.
Right.
It's so funny. And they think they got it right, and they're with somebody, and that person's looking at them going, huh, what are you saying? That's not
exactly
what they're saying. So it's great that the lyrics are out there for us.
Oh, for sure.
Well, last question for you is, what advice would you give an indie just starting out?
Work your ass off, stay true to, you know, your heart and what you feel, because a lot of people are going to pull you in different directions, and you know, you're the one who's going to represent the music. So listen to other people, but at the end of the day, if it feels right for you, it's right. If it doesn't feel right, you shouldn't do it.
Exactly. Exactly. And I have to say that even though everybody wants to, when they start out, be signed to a major record deal, a lot of times they can take control over your music and change completely opposite of who you are and what you want to do. So, you know, be careful what you wish for.
Yep. Absolutely.
Well,
and there are other ways to go about it now. There's a lot of indie labels that give you more freedom,
mm-hmm.
and you could license a lot and be your own record label. I mean, whatever works for you.
Yeah, a lot of people are doing that these days too, starting their own labels. I mean, I guess it's not as hard to do as people might think, you know, since a lot of them are coming out.
Right. I mean, it's hard work, I'd say. I run my own label.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's only 24 hours in the day, so it's good to have help.
Yeah.
But it's a good way to start and build on that. And if you find people who want to help you build and pull you in the same direction and help, that's fantastic too.
Definitely, definitely. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I had a lot of fun talking with you, and I look forward to everything that you put out. I want to thank you again for sending me your second album, your volume 2. I absolutely love it. I've played it many times over. And that's it. I hope you make it to Chicago.
I hope so, too. Thank you so much, Pam.
You're very welcome. Have a good day, and I'm going to go ahead and play a couple songs for our listeners.
All right, sweet. Take care.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And for our listeners, since we spoke so much about Pop Your Heart Out, here is that song.
I would try to pursue, and I swear I'd
Well, I hope that made you dance in your seat and break up your Wednesday day and made you move along. Next one I'm going to play and last one is called Love and Shine and by Salme Dahlstrom.
I love it.
Love and Shine, another great song by Salme Dahlstrom. Be sure to check out the video for that. I know on her website, which is salmeland.com, she has a video up there for the remix with, I don't want to say their name wrong. I think, Spec Frex. That's one of the remixes for Pop Your Heart Out. You can also find on there the store where you can purchase her music. There's Pop Propaganda Volume 1 CD. There's, they have wristbands too. The Acid Girl, Cowgirl Audio Trade. There's some singles on there, so go ahead and check that out. And again, be sure to follow her on Twitter at SalmeD. So it's S-A-L-M-E-D for her last name. So that was a lot of fun. I really, really enjoyed talking with her and learning more about her and how she does things. And look forward to any new music that she puts out there and hopefully see her one day here in Chicago. I want to thank everybody who listened in today. I hope you will join me again on Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time for an hour or so of the best indie music from around the world. Take care, everybody. Have a great rest of the week and upcoming weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.
Get connected with Take Two Radio Music on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio Music, or for email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit take2radiomusic.com.